Welcome to the Kate Languages podcast. I'm your host, Kate Clifton. I'm a former MFL teacher who left the classroom in 2017 to set off on my own adventure. Since then, I've developed my passion for helping teachers through creating time-saving teaching resources, delivering language lessons and CPD to languages teachers, and of course, through this podcast. I've had some wonderful feedback from teachers about how my work is helping them with their everyday teaching, and I love connecting with teachers from all over the world. To get in touch, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. I'm at Kate Languages on both, or you can email me through my website, katelanguages.co.uk. But for now, grab a cuppa, although maybe not if you're listening in the car. Sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode of the Kate Languages podcast. How are you? Welcome back to the Kate Languages podcast. This is season 8, episode 4 of the podcast. I hope you're enjoying this season so far. I've had loads of lovely feedback from people on social media about the episodes so far. If you haven't listened to them, if this is your first time here, hello, welcome. Go back and listen to the other episodes after this one. Today's episode is a bit more of a kind of money, business, that kind of thing. So I mentioned in my Q&A episode at the beginning of this season that I want to start supporting teachers a bit more who have potentially a side hustle or who are even thinking of leaving teaching and setting up their own business. And this episode is part of that kind of, you know, helping teachers and things like that. So I'm going to be talking about passive income for teachers. I will tell you what passive income is in a moment if you've never ever heard of it. If you are interested in more of this kind of content, let me know. Get in touch on social media. I'm at Kate Languages on Instagram and Facebook. Join my close friends list on Instagram. So just DM me close friends and you can join my close friends list. And I'm sharing more and more content just with this close friends list because I totally understand that most of my followers on Instagram are teachers who are very happy with their teaching job and they just want the MFL content. But I know that there are quite a lot of tutors and other people who are thinking, yeah, like I say, maybe they're going to leave teaching. Maybe they just want a side hustle to earn a bit of extra cash. I do have a whole podcast episode about earning extra cash as an MFL teacher. And the reason I wanted to do this one, so I will talk about a couple of the same things I mentioned in that episode. The reason I wanted to kind of hone in on the idea of passive income is that in my Making Extra Cash episode, some of the ideas are things like doing tuition, which take up time, whereas passive income, like once you've created the things for the passive income, doesn't take as much time. So what you earn isn't related to how many hours you work. So there you go. That's a very, very basic definition of passive income. So yeah, don't worry if you've never heard of passive income. So when I first started tuition in 2017, I had never heard the term passive income. Some people call it passive revenue. I think the word passive is a little bit misleading and I'll explain a bit more about that in a moment. But yeah, I had never heard of this term passive income. I had no idea like what that could possibly mean. And over the years of, I listened to a lot of business podcasts and marketing podcasts and things like that about online businesses, I came to realize that there is a way of, I mean, literally, and I know people say this is like a, you know, a marketing technique, but literally making money while you sleep. Or so a great example of this for me is I made £550, which is a buy everything sale. So somebody went onto my website, purchased buy everything while I was having a nap in the car on a French motorway back in July. So genuinely, while you sleep. However, that wouldn't happen if I hadn't put tons and tons of work into it beforehand, which is why I'm, like I'm saying, the word passive feels a little bit misleading sometimes. So if you'd like a definition that might make you giggle a little bit, I asked one of my AI friends, as in like an AI bot, for a definition. What is passive income? And especially when it comes to teachers. And I'm just going to read it out loud because this does not sound like me at all, but I just think it's quite funny. And actually, it's not a bad definition. Okay. Passive income is essentially earning money from a source other than a traditional 9-to-5 job without having to put in a lot of active day-to-day work to maintain it. It's like planting a garden. I told you it's funny. It's like planting a garden of income earning opportunities. Once you've done the initial planting and setup, you can enjoy the fruits of your labour with minimal additional effort. For us teachers, it means using our skills, knowledge, and passion in creative ways to build additional income streams that can grow and provide financial support over time. To unpack that a little bit. So you're earning money outside of teaching, so a side hustle, tuition, that kind of stuff. But it's money that once you have done the work, so as I said, we might buy everything, there's a lot of work that's gone into it beforehand. Once you have done that work, you can set it, you can put it up online, and you can continue to make money from that one piece of work that you've done without spending a huge amount of time and effort creating the money each time. Okay, so the opposite of passive income is when you sell your time, not in a dodgy way, when you sell your time, for example, private tuition. Okay, so you sell an hour of your time for, you know, 40, 50, 60 pounds, whatever you're selling it for. And somebody has an hour of your time and you get that money. But that's it. Like, you're not going to get more money for that 1 hour of your time. Passive income is a really, really useful thing. I probably should have like run the numbers on this, but I would say a huge proportion of my income is passive income. It's a really useful thing. Obviously, teachers are extremely busy. It's a really, really useful thing when you're short on time, when you're short on energy. If you don't want to be showing up on Zoom at 7 o'clock in the evening to be doing private tuition and things like that, passive income is ideal for you. So I'm going to give you 5 ways that teachers can earn passive income. Firstly, writing and publishing ebooks or teaching resources. Now, this is obviously something that I have done a lot of. So it's something that I know quite a lot about. I've got a whole podcast episode on creating resources. You've got to be super, super careful. I'm just going to caveat this, first of all, with please don't sell copyrighted resources. If you are copying and pasting stuff from a textbook and putting it onto a PowerPoint and selling it, it's not legal. I've had to have a little bit of a thing in my new Facebook group about that, about like, don't sell teaching resources that isn't your own work. So first of all, it has to be your own work, and you need to check with your school as well. If you are creating lessons and booklets and things like that for your school, it might be copyrighted to your school. It might be the intellectual property legally. It might be the intellectual property of your school. So you do, if you're working for a school and you're creating resources and you're putting them on TES or somewhere like that, so TES.com or Teachers Pay Teachers, if you're putting them on websites like that to sell, you've got to check that you can legally do so. Like, don't get yourself in trouble trying to make a few extra quid, all right? So yeah, as I say, I have created tons and tons of teaching resources over the years. I used to sell them for like an insanely cheap amount of money, like £3 for a 90-word booklet. I would recommend when you're starting off, like, don't try and sell them super, super expensive, because people just think, oh, she's just out for like trying to get loads of money. You do need to give people lots of value. Yeah, and it's mine has gradually evolved over the years to now I have subscriptions and obviously my Buy Everything, which is now £550. Even that started at £100. Can you believe there are people in my Buy Everything community who only paid £100? In fact, there are people who paid less than £100 because they got a 10% discount because they use a 10% discount code. But yeah, so there are people who paid £100 for lifetime access to all of my resources and workshops and everything, which is a bit mad when you think about it. But hey, well done. Be an early adopter, get stuff cheap. So anyway, yeah, so create teaching resources, upload them to websites such as TES and Teachers Pay Teachers. Be aware that they take an insane amount of money. It's really frustrating. And I've actually made the decision I'm not going to put any more paid resources on TES. I've got free resources on TES. I've got all my old paid resources. I'm probably going to leave them up there because it's not fair for people who've bought them and then, you know, if they lose access to them. But I'm not putting any new paid resources on TES because honestly, it is not worth my time. So even the few minutes that it takes for me to upload the resource, write about, you know, what the resource is about, blah, 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 tick all the boxes and stuff. It's just not worth my time to do that. And they do take a huge amount of money. So that is something that you need to be aware of with passive income, is that, you know, you are going to be putting stuff onto other people's websites and they are going to take money from you, but you are making money. And, you know, for me, I'm saying it's not worth my time. I was, you know, I still earn probably 100-ish pounds a month on Tez. I don't ever kind of point people towards Tez. You know, it's a kind of like a tiny bit of extra income. But if it weren't for Tez, I wouldn't have then started to think, oh, I can actually make some money from this. And I then started to develop my own website and put my resources on my website and develop it that way. And I think that's something as well that you need to realize with any kind of income. It takes time. Everything takes time. You need to build it up slowly. You are not going to put a £20 booklet on Tez and make £1,000 in a day. Like, that is not going to happen. So just be aware that these things take time and you build them up slowly. And that's all through building your audience, so building your social media following, potentially building an email list. If you are doing a proper, you know, proper side hustle and you're thinking of actually turning this into a decent revenue stream, you need to be thinking about your, you know, your social media, your marketing, your email list, all that kind of thing. If you'd like some help and advice on that, head over to my website, book in a Pick My Brains call with me. So that's a half hour kind of coaching session. And I love talking about all this kind of stuff. And I will go through it with you and I can look at your social media with you and give you some tips and ideas. And again, join my close friends list because I'm giving some advice on that kind of thing. So I'm not going to go into loads of detail about that now. So yeah, so that's the first, probably most obvious form of passive income for teachers. So creating teaching resources, you put them online. Do make sure that you are telling people about them. You can't just put stuff online and don't tell anybody because nobody will buy them. But, you know, I've got a booklet on Tez that I created back in 2017, my French writing workbook for the current old GCSE. So the one that the current year 11s in September 24, the one that the current year 11s are doing. So I created particularly my French workbook on there years and years and years ago. And people still buy that. On Tez, people are still buying that. I've sold like, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000, I think. And people are still buying that. Okay. And with my subscriptions and my buy everything, there were resources there that I created years ago. But this is why I'm saying, like, passive is a slightly odd word to use because you do have to do the work up front. But then once you've done it, you can continue to make money from that same product without doing any extra work for years and years and years to come, especially if it's a really good one and you get a good reputation for actually creating good quality resources and things like that. Oh, the last thing I'm going to say, if you're selling resources, please include answers. Just a little personal request there, because there's nothing more frustrating than buying a resource and there's no answers and you're just like, oh, that's no use. I mean, it is use, but it's just kind of irritating because you're like, oh, great, now I've got to like figure out the answers myself. But yeah, listen to my creating resources episode for more about that. Okay, the second passive income revenue stream is doing things like workshops and webinars and things like that. So that might not sound like passive income because you're thinking, yeah, but I need to actually show up and spend an hour on Zoom or whatever. You know, I've got to create the presentation, I've got to tell people about the workshop, I've got to sell it, and then I do the hour. And then, like, how is that passive income? The way that that is passive income is that you prepare your workshop, you tell loads of people about it, you get loads of people to come. And so you're doing it live. And this is one of my, you know, one of the things as part of my business model is what I do, partly because I get all these ideas and I'm like, oh, I could do training about this and I could do a workshop about that. If I don't actually tell people, right, I'm going to be here on Zoom at this time on this day talking about this particular thing, I'm just not going to get around to doing it. So a really, really easy way of making sure that you create that content of a really good workshop and having it live, you get lots of good questions. And I think that's really, really valuable for the next step. So think of something that you want to talk about. Create a workshop, tell people about it, sell tickets to it. People turn up live, you do your workshop, they ask lots of questions. It's all really, really good. make sure you record the workshop. Otherwise, this is all a waste of everybody's time. And especially, you know, people, most of the time you'll have probably 10 or 20% of the people who've signed up will actually turn up on the day if you're lucky. Like, this is my experience, even when people have paid for it, but they want the recording and they want to be able to look over it afterwards. So record the workshop. Then you have a video that you can then put up online as what we call evergreen. Okay. So if it's evergreen, it means it is always there online for people to buy from you. Now, you might be thinking, this is all well and good, Kate. Where do I put this online? So you might need to create a website. And with my next point, I'm going to tell you a bit more about my new website that I use. So I use Kajabi and why I think that would be ideal for this. But it's honestly not that hard to set up a website. I don't think you can upload videos to TES. I'm not sure what you could do though. And again, a lot of this involves you, you know, building up your social media following and things like that. When you are just starting out, if you truly believe in what you're doing, and I do this with people. So if people haven't bought my bundles and things like that on my website, or they're not buy everything, if they sign up to a workshop and they can't turn up on the day and they want access to the recording, what I do, I upload it to my Google folder and I send them a link to watch it, like through my Google, you know, on my Google Drive. So that's all I do. So I just get the list of the people who've signed up. I send out a bulk email to all of them. If you signed up to my workshops, by the way, and you haven't received these emails, check your junk folder, because I keep getting emails from people for the ones I did over the summer going, oh, I didn't get the recording for that. When are you going to send out the recording? I'm like, I literally do it within a couple of hours. If you haven't got it, check your junk folder. If not, I'll send it to you again. Anyway, so yeah, just pop it in a Google folder and send out the link for people to watch. If you then want to sell access to that recording afterwards, you could put a link to your PayPal. I mean, this is just like the most basic way of doing it. You could put a link to your PayPal on your Instagram account, for example. So you can have, you know, website links on your Instagram account or on your LinkedIn or whatever, you know, have a link to how to pay you through PayPal. You literally just need an email address to pay somebody through PayPal, and then they can pay you, you know, however much it is that you've charged for the workshop. And then once they've paid you, you can send them the Google link. Okay. Ideally, to make it as passive as possible, you don't want to have all those steps because you've still got to do some manual things. But it's still passive in that you've already done the workshop and people are paying you money to have access to the recording of the workshop, and that can be there forever. But to move on to point three, which is creating and selling online courses, so digital courses, this is where I think setting up a basic website, a really simple website for yourself. And I'm not saying this is for like every single teacher, not every single teacher needs a website, but there are loads of teachers out there with brilliant like blog websites and things like that. So just when you're thinking about how you're going to, you know, if you want to have a blog or if you want to create some kind of passive income stream, a revenue stream for yourself, think about, okay, how can I set up a website? So as I say, I use Kajabi. I have absolutely fallen in love with Kajabi. Some people seem to think that there are issues with it. I don't know. I am finding it the easiest thing in the world. It's not the cheapest, but it is 100% worth it. Like, I have made back 10 times what I've spent for the entire year for Kajabi already. I haven't even had my website for 6 months yet. Okay. So yeah, it is well worth the investment. It's really easy. I set up my website all by myself. Yeah, I've got a few years experience of like doing bits and bobs on my old WordPress website, but really, if I can set up a website, you can. And also I did it. So like, I've got a homepage, I've got a contact page, I've got an about me page, I've got all these things. If you are literally just setting up a website to say, I'm going to sell this, you know, possibly teaching resources, or if I'm going to sell particularly, so Kajabi is particularly good for video. So workshops that you've already done, so recordings of workshops and potentially online courses, then Kajabi is absolutely amazing. If you're listening to this going, what's this word that she keeps saying? It sounds really weird. Kajabi, Kajabi. That's where I got my website from. I'll pop a link in the show notes, and this is related to point number four. I'll tell you all about my link in a moment. Okay, so creating and selling online courses. Now, if you know anything at all about the online personal development, all that kind of stuff, there are some big, big, big names out there, people like Amy Porterfield and people like that, who talk a lot about creating and selling online courses. So you can invest in an online, I mean, this is how meta is this. You can invest in an online course to tell you how to create and launch an online course, or you can just think about, what are you good at? So what element of teaching do you feel confident about? So it could be the thing that you want to do a workshop about. It could be an element of behavior management. It could be something like, you know, teaching phonics in languages. It could be engaging key stage three, or, you know, younger beginners, things like that. So what are you really interested in, and what are you good at? You are a teacher. If you're listening to this, chances are you're a teacher. You know how to plan a lesson, and planning a digital course is not really that much different to planning a lesson. You know, you need to think about your beginning, you know, how you're going to introduce it all, what you're going to teach them, and then a kind of conclusion. The digital course doesn't have to be huge. So I have a digital course on my website. It's genuinely really, really simple. I'm probably going to revamp it at some point. It's somewhere on my to-do list, but it's essentially 5 PowerPoints. And again, you don't even need anything really fancy. So you can either use Zoom. So this is what I do with my workshops. And sometimes I do little trainings that I've put on my free resources, which is literally just like 10 minutes. I just have a Zoom meeting with myself. I'm telling you all my cheapskate secrets here. I have a Zoom meeting with myself, and I share my screen, and I just talk to my computer, and it records it all. And then I just download it, and then I just shove it up onto my website. And it's so quick and easy to do. I mean, obviously, again, this is where the word passive is slightly misleading, because you have to do the work to prepare it. Anyway, so my digital course, Structuring an Outstanding MFL Lesson, is 5 PowerPoints. And what I've actually done with those PowerPoints is I have recorded myself talking over those PowerPoints. So you don't even see my face with these. So if you're not confident showing your face, you don't even need to do that. You can have a little video bubble when you're doing it on PowerPoint. And this is all essentially free, or, you know, I mean, I pay like £10 a month for Microsoft stuff. So you create a PowerPoint, you put it into presentation mode, and you record yourself talking over the PowerPoint, explaining all the points, and then you can save that and you can export it as a movie or export it as a video. I use an Apple, so it might be slightly different, but Apple computer, not like apples that you eat. I just realized, like, oh, I use an Apple. Anyway, at least I make myself laugh. Right. So I use an Apple computer, so it might be slightly different on Apple to what it is on Windows. Apologies if it is. But you export it as a movie. And again, with Kajabi, it's so easy to upload the video. And then the video is embedded, so people can watch it. You can include resources as downloads as well. And if you want to, you know, you can include a little PDF, a little workbook to go along with it. You can include a copy of the PowerPoint if you want to. I've stopped doing this now. I used to include the PowerPoints with my online courses and, you know, workshops and stuff like that. And then I was just like, well, no, they can see the PowerPoint on the video. So no, I've stopped showing my PowerPoints as well. And yeah, and you essentially, you know, you create that, you upload it, and then it's there. Now, as I said, with your resources, you need to tell people about this. If you're interested in this kind of thing, I'm really happy to do another podcast episode, maybe next season, about social media marketing for teachers. Again, like I keep saying, I love all this stuff. I find it really interesting. So if that's something you might be interested in, let me know. So far we've had creating teaching resources, putting them on Tez, telling people about them, and then they go to Tez and buy them from you, or making your own little website and putting them up there and selling them. Doing a live workshop and then recording it, setting it, again, putting it on your website, even just putting a link to pay you, and then you send them the Google file of the video, and then creating and selling online courses. The fourth thing, which is potential passive income for teachers, is affiliate marketing. Oh my gosh, what is affiliate marketing? So I hadn't even heard of this until a couple of years ago. And this is something that I'm wanting to sort of test the water with a little bit. And this is where I said the link in the show notes for Kajabi, if you want to have a look at Kajabi, is an affiliate link. Okay, because I've got a Kajabi website, I can set myself up as a Kajabi affiliate. So if you choose to purchase a subscription to Kajabi, because obviously you have to pay for websites. So if you choose to sign up to Kajabi and pay for it, I will get a little percentage of what you are paying to Kajabi, which is really nice. So if you like me and you want to give me some money and you also want a website and you also want some passive income, then that's one way of doing it. Okay. So I have a special affiliate link, which I have put the link to that in the show notes. And if you click on that, you get a 30-day free trial of Kajabi. And then as and when you choose to actually make the payment, I will get a little percentage of that. And that's one way of creating some passive income. But again, you need to tell people about it. So that's why I'm telling you about this on my podcast. And I will put the link in the show notes and I will talk about it on my social media. So yeah, so affiliate links, you can use them for anything. Amazon do loads. Personally, I have quite a love-hate relationship with Amazon, so I haven't gone down that road. I keep looking at things like Quizlet or Zoom, which is something which I use quite a lot, but I don't think I'm eligible for a Zoom affiliate yet. For some things, you need to have a certain number of social media followers and things like that, so they won't be accessible for most people. But it's always worth having a look. So if there's a website that you love, if there's a product that you love and you use all the time, have a look on their website or Google. So for example, Quizlet, Google Quizlet affiliate links or Quizlet affiliate marketing and see if anything comes up. Quizlet doesn't seem to have anything last time I checked, which is a shame because I love Quizlet and I would love to talk about it and I would love to, you know, be an affiliate for Quizlet. So if anybody's listening, let me know. I'm also setting up affiliates for my website as well. And again, it depends on, you know, who you are, how many social media followers you've got, if it feels like it's the right fit. So I'm not just going to say to everybody, oh yeah, here, have an affiliate link. And when somebody, you know, clicks on like purchases buy everything, you'll get a percentage of that. So I'm still in the process of figuring out how to do that. But it's a way for me to give back as well to people who support me and promote my resources and promote my workshops and all that kind of thing. So it's just a great way for companies to give back to their biggest supporters, their biggest cheerleaders. And that's something that I want to do as well for my website. So if you'd like to be a Kate Languages affiliate, get in touch. We'll figure out, you know, if you are the right fit and how we can go about, you know, giving you an affiliate link and you can promote it and things like that. So yeah, get in touch. hello@katelanguages.co.uk. Number five, this is something again that I hadn't even considered until a few months ago, but this is something that's for everybody, not just teachers, and that's investing. Okay. Investing in the stock market. Now, this you might think like, Kate, what is going on? Like, what has happened to you? But hear me out. Investing has to be a really, really long-term thing. And in some ways, investing really is the only actual form of passive income. I have invested through a company called Wealthify, and I have created an ISA through them, and they invest only in ethical companies. Okay. So I'm like, people who know me quite well know that I'm a bit of an eco warrior. I'm a bit like fussy about who I buy stuff from. You know, if I'm buying clothes, I will actually read all the information, sustainability information on the website and things like that. Like I am, yeah, I'm quite fussy about which companies I will actually give my money to. And when I first thought about investing, so I read a really, really good book called Girls That Invest. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. I'd really, really recommend it. Even if you don't want to invest, like it's just really interesting, I think, to learn about money. So yeah, so I read this book and I thought, oh yeah, I'll see how, you know, I'm not sure about this. I'm just going to do a little bit. So I only put £150 a month across into this ISA. Because it's an ISA, it's tax-free, which is lovely. I've gone for like a low-risk investment. I don't want to be doing like high risk investments. Yes, potentially you can earn more. But for me, because I'm self-employed, my teacher's pension, I probably got about 8 years worth or so, I reckon, of my teacher's pension. So, you know, it's something I need to think about my long-term thing. So this isn't something that's like passive income that I'm going to take money out and buy nice stuff. It's something that is a long-term investment in my future. But at the end of the day, it is passive income because you have just given your money to a company who invests it for you and your money is doing the work for you. You're really not doing any work at all. You get more of a return than you would on a bank account, even with interest rates being quite high. My return on this investment is currently about 6 or 7%. So that's higher than any, like even a high interest savings account that I've seen so far. And as I say, because it's an ISA, it's tax-free. So yeah, it's just like one little thing that if you are starting to think about a side hustle, you know, making more money and how you can get money from your money in a way, then yeah, investing is actually, it's not as high risk as people think. Read that book, Girls That Invest, even if you're not a girl, because it just breaks it down and it makes it really, really clear. And it shows that, yeah, it's not as high risk as people think. So there we go. 5 ways of making passive income as a teacher. Firstly, teaching resources. Secondly, doing paid webinars or workshops and then selling the recordings afterwards, because that's the passive bit. Creating and selling online courses, affiliate marketing, and then finally, investing. If you have any other ideas for ways to make passive income, let me know. You can always get in touch through my website, email hello@katelanguages.co.uk, or get in touch on social media. I'm at Kate Languages on Facebook and Instagram. So next week, I am going to be talking about learning from failure. As I have mentioned this in previous episodes, this is going to be quite a personal, yeah, I'm like nervous even thinking about talking about this. So yeah, I think you're going to need to listen into that one. So if you want to hear about all the ways in which I failed in my working life, then listen to that next week. All right, I'll see you then. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kate Languages podcast. If you did, please think about leaving me a 5-star review. And you can also tag me on social media to let me know you've been listening and let me know your thoughts on the episode. Also, don't forget to subscribe so the next episode of the Kate Languages podcast can be delivered straight to your device as soon as it's released. But until then, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, adios, bye.